Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Let's read there. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let us pray. Father, again, we praise you for your word. We thank you for preserving your words in the King James Bible, Father. Just bless our time as we study about Paul's persuasion in 2 Timothy 1:12. Just bless this time in thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What we want to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 is Paul the Apostle makes some personal statements in this verse this evening. We want to notice in this verse that he uses the personal pronoun, I, no less than five times. Basically what he's doing, he's summing up to Timothy his feelings about his calling in the ministry. The first thing we want to see is he says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. So the first personal statement that he makes, Paul says, I also suffer these things. And what he's talking about is he is suffering for all who will live godly in Christ Jesus. So he says he was suffering because he was living godly in Christ Jesus. And then we go on, and he says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Paul was not ashamed, he was saying, to suffer for the Lord's sake. Paul was not ashamed to suffer for the Lord's sake. Over there in Acts chapter 21, we see Paul going to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 21, and verse 13, Paul says, and let's look in verse 12. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So they did not want Paul to go up to Jerusalem, because Agabus the prophet had came and told him that if he was to go to Jerusalem, that he would be bound. But Paul says, then Paul answered, in Acts 21, verse 13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only. So he's saying, I'm not only willing to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see then that Paul says, I am not ashamed. Paul was not ashamed to suffer for the Lord's sake. And then we see, he says, as we continue on in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, for I know whom I have believed. He says, I know whom I have believed. He has assurance, Paul says, that he has believed on the one who is worthy of his own sacrifice. We know that Paul told us about how we can present our own sacrifice, and that's our bodies, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. So Paul has assurance that he has believed on the one who is worthy of his own sacrifice. That's who he is to present his body to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, but tonight, we've looked at some person, we haven't looked at them all, but tonight we want to look at, in some detail, the last personal statement that he makes in our verse this evening. And look what he says. Paul continues on and says, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We want to look at Paul's persuasion. That's the title of our message tonight, Paul's persuasion. We want to look at Paul's persuasion tonight. A pastor asked a dying man, brother, of what persuasion are you? The man replied, I am of Paul's persuasion. You don't understand me. Of what persuasion are you? I understand you. I am of Paul's persuasion, the man said. The preacher, shaking his head, said, Brother, I'm afraid I do not understand you. You said you were of Paul's persuasion. What do you mean? There's a Methodist persuasion, and a Baptist persuasion, and an Episcopalian persuasion, and a Lutheran persuasion, and a Nazarene persuasion. But what is Paul's persuasion? What is the persuasion of Paul? And the man smiling, the dying man smiling, quoted, he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know, Paul's, that word persuasion within this verse tonight is the old word for denomination. So you see, as this man, this dying man stated, and Paul states in our verse tonight, you see, Paul stated here that he is fully persuaded that he is saved and saved eternally. Paul is saved and saved eternally. Paul is fully persuaded that he was in the hands of the one who keeps what is entrusted to him. Now, Jesus tells us regarding the keeping of those in his hands. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We want to see what Jesus says about those that have been entrusted to him, that those that have been put in his hands. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So what Jesus says, those that have come to him and accepted him as their personal Savior, those that have been entrusted to him, placed in his hands, no man can pluck them out. No, nothing can take them out of his hand, those that the Father has given him. Paul is fully persuaded that the one who does the preserving. Now, the one who does the preserving, let's see, who is that? Who does the preserving? Turn over to Jude 1, the first verse of Jude. And we're going to see who does the preserving. Look at what Jude says. In Jude 1, it says, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. So we see that God the Father sanctifies us, separates us, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So we're preserved in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preserves us. So Paul is fully persuaded that the one who does the preserving, we're preserved in Jesus Christ, places a special seal upon those who are kept, just as when we preserve jams and other things. A seal is put upon these things, so that they won't be lost. Paul talks about this special seal in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul says, And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So that special seal that the preserver, the Lord Jesus Christ, puts on us is the Holy Spirit of God. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. The day of redemption. We have a special seal upon us. We cannot lose our salvation. You know, the Holy Spirit can't come out of us. Once you're indwelled with that Holy Spirit, He will not leave you. You cannot lose your salvation. Just like when a seal is properly put upon jams and other things that are preserved, that they won't be lost. They won't go bad. Paul is also fully persuaded that he is in the hands of the one who keeps what is entrusted to him and places it where Satan cannot get it. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this evening. Not only are we sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, but we've kept and we're put in a place where Satan cannot get us. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 35, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question he's asking. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? The answer is no. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or peril? No. Or sword? All of these conditions, he said, tribulation, whatever trial and tribulation you're going on through your life, and no bad matter how seeming bad it seems or whatever you may be going through, that will not, you will not lose your salvation. You will not be separated from the love of Christ. Or any kind of distress that you're in, any kind of illness, or in any way, that any kind of distress that you might find yourself in, any distressful situation. You know, the creditors may be banging down at your door. Maybe that's part of your own fault. I don't know. But whatever distress you're in, Paul is saying that that will not separate you from the love of Christ. You will not lose your salvation. He goes on and says, or persecution. You and I know if you're going to live, we're going to be suffering, we're going to be persecuted if you live godly in Christ Jesus. So if you're being persecuted right now, and it may be seem hard and difficult, but remember, you cannot lose your salvation. Nothing, he says, persecution cannot separate us for the love of Christ. How about famine? How about famine? Maybe you lose your job or some financial situation. Maybe you're not able to, you know, live the life that you wanted to live before. Maybe there's less to go around or whatever it may be. You know, loss of job, income, whatever it may be. He says, that will not separate you from the love of Christ. So how about nakedness? Again, tying in with famine. You know, a type of, you don't have the clothes to wear anymore. Or maybe you have one pair of pants or one skirt or whatever it may be. That won't, no matter what you go through, nakedness, peril or the sword, whatever these conditions are, he's saying, the answer to those things is, who can separate us from the love of Christ? None of those conditions. Then he goes on in verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he goes on. Again, he's persuaded, Paul says in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, okay? Death, again, death. When you die and your body goes is buried 6 feet under, when you die, that will not separate you from the love of Christ. You cannot lose your salvation because of death. Nor life. Anything on this life at all would separate you from your eternal security, from eternal life. Nor angels. The thing we have to think about angels is fallen angels. That's the only thing when he talked about angels is fallen angels. No fallen angels or angels can separate us from the love of Christ. And he goes on, nor principalities nor powers. When he mentions principality and powers, we have to believe because he talked about them in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul is talking about spiritual enemies of the believer. And boy, we have some. And boy, if you're living for Christ, you know Satan is there every day with his demons, his devils are coming after you. But Paul said, these spiritual enemies of the believer cannot separate us from the love of Christ. And he goes on, nor things present. Your present circumstances, again. What's happening now, right now in your life, your present circumstances, what's ever going on. None of these things, these present circumstances, can separate you from the love of Christ. And then he goes, nor things to come in the future. The future, whatever the future holds. Well, we know as Christians what the... we know, as the hymn says, we know who holds tomorrow for us. We know our future. Because if you're saved and you're born again, you know that your future is to be raptured out of here when the Lord returns. If you're on the earth, you'll be sucked right up off the earth. If you're dead in the grave, that your body will be pulled up there, amen? So we know even the future, whatever happens, the future events, even while we're still on this earth, you know, while we're still walking this earth, none of those things will separate us from the love of Christ. Although Satan will tell you, boy, he want to make you doubt your salvation or make you think that you're not, you know, you're living in such a way that you've lost it. And then he goes on and he says, nor height, nor depth. Now we think of height, we think of the skies, the heavens above us, and we think of depth, we think of the waters below. But what he's saying, none of these things, what Paul is doing is he's coming up with all different kind of things to cover everything. Neither depth nor height can separate us from the love of Christ. And then he says, and he goes, he said, neither height nor depth nor any other creature. He says, any other creature includes any creature you want to mention. Any creature. Whatever it may be, Paul says. None of these things, he's covered all the bases, none of these things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is saying, he is persuaded that you cannot lose your salvation. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. From the love of Christ. You know, that's why it's so important, after you lead someone to the Lord, is to show them these scriptures on eternal security, which we're basically doing this evening, is going over them to show them, because Satan will come especially to a newly saved Christian and make them want to believe that they can lose their salvation. Paul goes on in our verse tonight, and he says, that which I have committed unto him, that which I have committed unto him. What Paul is saying, Paul had assurance and confidence, and those who had led, those people that he had led to the Lord would be kept and would not lose their salvation. They were eternally saved. And then he says, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What is that day? The day of Christ, the day of redemption, amen. That's what he's talking about. In 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, Paul says, now we beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So we see then, against that day is the day of Christ, when he comes for us. For the believer, this begins at the rapture. The rapture, as outlined in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And it continues at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, which is covered in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, and 2 Corinthians 5, 10, and Romans 14, 10. All of these places talk about the judgment seat of Christ. What's happened is, where the purchased possession, that's us, is permanently redeemed and confirmed sinless forever. You see, right now, our soul and spirit have been redeemed. Our soul and spirit is saved, but our body is not. And when the day of redemption, at the day of the Lord, when he comes, and when we're raptured off this earth, or if we're in the grave and we're dead in Christ, he'll pull us out of the grave, the redemption will be complete. The redemption will be complete because we will get our new glorified bodies. The Apostle John spoke about this in his first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 2. John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As he is. Now, some people will say that's literally. In other words, we'll be like him. In other words, Christ was, I think he was 33 and a half years old when he died. So some people take it and say, well, we'll be like him. Literally, we'll all be 33 and a half year old males. You know, I'm not going to be dogmatic on that, but some people teach that and preach that. But he says, we will be like him. We will be like him. Let me ask you tonight, what persuasion are you tonight? Are you of Paul's persuasion? If you are saved, are you claiming the promises of 2 Timothy 1:12, our verse tonight? This is a verse on eternal security that you can use. Are you claiming the promises that we saw that Jesus gave us in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30? Or how about Ephesians 4:30, how we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption? And how about the promises in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39? He lists a bunch of things. He covered everything. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There are many more verses in the scriptures that we haven't looked at right now that teach the eternal security of the believer in the church age. But let me ask you, if you're not of Paul's persuasion, do you allow some misguided heretic to take you over to Matthew 24? Let's go over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, because there are verses in the scriptures that teach that you can lose your salvation. That's what they teach. And that's what the heretic will use to say that you can lose your salvation in the church age. Over in the Gospel of Matthew, we've been there before, but it's all right to visit it again. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, it says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now, the thing we want to remember, all of chapter 24, the context is of the tribulation period. And we know that the church, the body of Christ, is not going to go through the tribulation period, praise God. We're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be heaven, amen. We're going to be heaven bound. And we also know some other things we've studied. The Matthew was the gospel to the Jews, the presentation of the king and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is something entirely different, as we've gone over and over and over again. The kingdom of heaven is the physical, literal reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. So yes, a person during the tribulation, it says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I'm not enduring to the end. I'm not going to be able to endure to the end. I don't have to endure to the end. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then we looked at all those verses that show that once you're saved, you're eternally saved. I don't have to endure to the end. I won't lose my salvation. But again, Matthew 14, 13 applies to the tribulation period. And it's obvious that this verse teaches that, yes, you can lose your salvation, but not during the church age, during the tribulation period. Okay, they'll sometimes use that verse. But sometimes the same folk will take you over to Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." You see that now? "But Christ, as son over his own house, whose house are we," okay, meaning, you know, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're of that same house, "if we hold fast," again, there's something that you have to do, hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Again, just like in Matthew 24, 13, there's something that you have to do until the end. Unto the end. There's some kind of holding out unto the end. Rejoicing, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. The blessed hope. We know the blessed hope is the appearing of the great God. The appearing of the great God, as it says in Titus, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I don't have to hold out until then to his appearing. Amen. of course, this appearing here is talking about the second advent because we're in the tribulation period right now. So the same folks that will take you to Matthew 24:13 to teach you that you can lose your salvation will take you to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. They'll also take you to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 in the same chapter. Look at that verse. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. See that again? Again, our confidence. Now, we saw this evening that Paul said, we started out, Paul said in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he said, For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul had confidence that those that he had led to the Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ could preserve them, could keep them. But here again we have, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, it says, If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. This verse teaches, just like in verse number 6, that you can lose your salvation. That you can lose your salvation. But what people will do, what Bible believers will do, that again believe that everything's the same and everything, you know, is equal and so forth and so on, will change the word of God around to make it say something else. But this is what these three verses that we've looked at, Matthew 24:13, Hebrews 3:6, and Hebrews 3:14, teaches that yes, in the scriptures there are verses that teach that you can lose your salvation. Let's look at one more place. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible, look at this, for it is impossible those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. See, most Bible believers, because they don't want to believe things are different in the tribulation, will say, well, these people didn't actually get saved. But look at what it's saying. Have tasted of the heavenly gift. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. These people were saved. Partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, they didn't have the indwelling Holy Ghost, but they were partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go on. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. An open shame. So we see, shall fall away. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. For it is impossible, it says in verse 4, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. See, they've lost their salvation. Look at in verse 11 of Hebrews 6. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to full assurance of hope unto the end. Here's that unto the end again. Unto the end. Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Yes, we see then that Matthew 24:13, Hebrews 3:16, Hebrews 3:14, Hebrews 6:11, that word unto the end. Yes, there's something that you have to do unto the end or you'll lose your salvation. And we know what that is during the tribulation, is not to take the mark of the beast. And many will be martyred for Christ. Many will have their heads chopped off for Christ. We want to remember about the book of Hebrews. It's written to the Hebrews. It's written to the Hebrews. That's who it's written to, not to the Christians, not to the Gentiles, but Jews during the tribulation period. Although there are some scriptures, I want you to remember this, there are some scriptures that apply to us here in Hebrews. Primarily, doctrinally, it applies to the Jews during the tribulation. During the tribulation. We see why Paul said. We see why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul said, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." See, that's why it's so important to study the word of God, so you won't be ashamed. So you won't be ashamed. So when someone takes you to these verses and say, "Hey, you can lose your salvation." Yeah, that's what they're teaching, but they're in a definite time period, a different time period than we're in right now. And unfortunately, Bible believers, they call themselves Bible believers, that do not rightly divide the word of truth and say that no, you can't lose your salvation during the tribulation period. That's why they've had to tamper with the word of God. The King James Bible changed it around. I'll come up with some kind of thing to say, "Well, that's not what it says. You're not really losing your salvation." But that's what those verses teach. But before we talked about those verses, we looked at all the other, quite a few verses that teach eternal security in the age of grace, in the church age. You're eternally saved, Paul said. So we don't want to look at the book of Hebrews when it comes to the area of salvation for the church age. That's the last place you want to go. That's where you have these people that are, I think a lot of them are called holiness people, although you've got to, you know, that you can lose your salvation if you don't, you know, keep living a certain life or get into a holy state. But see, the thing is, they're going to these verses and they're not realizing that they're in a different time period. They're not in the age of grace. They're not in the church age. They're in during the tribulation. So it's very important, as Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we've seen there are verses that teach. We know that during the church age we're saved by grace through faith. And we see that Paul showed us tonight in a lot of different verses. The Pauline epistles is what you want to read to see what you should be doing in the church age and as far as doctrine goes. That you cannot lose your salvation in the age of grace. Peter said, you know, it's very important to study the Word of God, because Peter said, "So you can be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That's why it's so important it's great to know Romans Road, and how to present the plan of salvation to Jesus Christ and how to get someone saved. That's very important. But it goes further than that. You know, it's great if you get the Romans roads down pat, but it goes further than that. You've got to know how to rightly divide that word of truth, because there's going to be people. You're going to run into people. If they hear you're religious or anything at all, if you're a Christian, they're going to come over to you and they're going to present their doctrine. And they're going to take you to Hebrews, and they're going to take you to Matthew, and they're going to take you to Acts. But hopefully, by what you're being taught here in those books, Acts, Hebrews, and Matthew, you should be well on right now. You should be able to rightly divide your Bible right now. It's so important. Paul's persuasion tonight. Paul said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." That's Paul's persuasion. Is that your persuasion tonight? Is that your persuasion tonight? That you know, first of all, that you're saved, and second of all, that you know, as Paul said, that he knew, that he was persuaded, those things that he had committed unto the Lord, those precious souls that he had led to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was assured and that he had confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw, we are preserved in Jesus Christ, would keep them until against that day, until the day of Jesus Christ. Is that your persuasion? Do you know the Bible? Can you rightly divide the word of truth when someone comes and tries to refute the doctrine of eternal security in the church age? Do you have that answer? Can you answer him? Can you show them the verses? You should be able to. Praise God tonight that if you're saved, that you're eternally saved. That nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God for those verses in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Sometimes the devil wants to make, you know, sometimes when he's really wanting to confuse you, he'll want you to think that lie, that something can separate you from the love of God. No matter how many years you've been saved, he's going to come and put that doubt in your mind. But praise God, you can be persuaded, just as Paul was persuaded and had confidence and assurance that he was saved, eternally saved, and those that he had led to the Lord were saved and eternally saved. Praise God for that. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you this evening that we can know for sure that we're saved, number one, and not only saved, but we're eternally saved. I pray that each and every one of us are of the persuasion of Paul, that we have the confidence and the assurance, not because of what man said, not because of what tradition or commandments of men said, but because of the Word of God. Father, we just pray that you'd just cement that principle so deep in our heart, Father. Help us to rightly divide the Word of truth so we can answer those folks that come and say, well, you can lose your salvation. We've covered some of those verses. There are more there that teach that you can, but not in the age of grace. Father, we just come to this time of invitation. We pray now that you'd have your will in your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All righty, kindly stand if you would at this time. We'll turn to hymn number 382, Softly and Tenderly. If you have a need to come tonight and pray, please pray. If you don't, that's okay too. We won't prolong the invitation, but if there's folks praying tonight, we'll continue our invitation. 382, Softly and Tenderly. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. On the last, oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Amen. We had a very good day today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we praise your name. We thank you again for those that have come tonight. Pray for your blessing upon their lives. We just pray that you'd give us traveling mercies throughout the week and our loved ones, Father. Strengthen us for the battle that's ahead, Father.
Help us to be faithful witnesses. Give us boldness in witnessing this week, Father. And help us not to get discouraged, Father, and always remember that blessed promise that we have of eternal security, Father. Just bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've seen that each Christian is a priest. We make up a priesthood collectively as Christians. We're to offer up not literal sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices. Praise to God continually, giving thanks to God continually, to do good, even when it's hard not to do good, and to communicate, giving and receiving. Christian, what kind of sacrifices have you been offering up to God? Have they been well-pleasing? Have they been acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, having a sweet-smelling savor? Or have they just been token spiritual sacrifices, lip service to God? They didn't cost you anything. Words don't cost anything. When you put that words, you push your Christianity into shoe leather, that's when it costs you something. When's the last time you gave thanks and praise to God? Never mind continually. When's the last time did you do good? When the boss gets in your face, do you jump back in his face? What kind of a testimony is that? That's not doing good. Christian, we're going to have a time of invitation very soon, very shortly. At this time, at the leading of the Holy Spirit, maybe there's some spiritual sacrifices that you haven't and you need to be offering up to God. During that time of invitation, that'd be a good time. Not because I tell you, but at the leading of the Holy Spirit, to come, pray around this old time, fashion altar about those spiritual sacrifices that you should be offering up to God. And if you're out unsaved this morning, watching at home, or if you're here, I can't assume everything. I know everyone here has made a public profession for Christ, but I don't assume anything. God knows everybody's heart. If you're at home or you're here and you're not saved, you need to be saved today. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.